always locked on heat. Biscayne, South Beach, Goldberg and Ramil. Talking heat, body chill. Got the stats in the news. Got the facts and the views. Never know what they gon' say. Mailbag on a Monday. Pat Riles got the pack ride. Coach Spo got the know-how. Three bands in the raps now. Heat Nation, that's a packed house. Heat talk at the game time. Heat talk every day. I'm always locked on heat. Got it locked on heat. Always locked on heat. Keep it locked on heat. Seat geek for the cheek. What's the day got the heat?
And now, your locked on heat hopes. Wes Goldberg and David Ramil.
All right, let's do this. Welcome to Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Wes Goldberg. I'm here as always with David Ramil, and this is our Thanksgiving special episode. Today, David and I are going to talk about what from the Heat season we're thankful for. If anything, we figure out some things. And then we're going to rank the top eight teams in the Eastern Conference through basically Thanksgiving. But first, today's show is brought to you by Draft. Draft is a daily fantasy without the nonsense and complications. You play with a live snake draft, no salary cap, with other people, and you can join a draft whenever you want. Draft is designed to make fantasy sports simple, fair, and fun. Use the promo code LOHEAT to get a free entry into a draft when you make your first deposit. All right. Let's get to it. The first thing that we're thankful for, David, let's start with your first thing.
Yeah. Thank you. I'm thankful for that. You know, in a season where, you know, things haven't gone exactly to script, at the very least, I'm thankful for some individual performances, but no individual player means as much to me on this current Heat roster as Goran Dragic. The return of the Dragon, after a summer of debating with you whether or not we should move him for Kyrie Irving or package a player like Irving, I'm glad that we've moved on from that idea, although Irving obviously is playing at a near MVP level and Dragic is doing what he does. I mean, there's just something to be said about his style of play, something that I personally appreciate. It's solid. It's great. It's not spectacular and it's not at a superstar level, but he's a very good player. And I just appreciate the person he is, the leader he is. I know in our recent mailbag, we answered questions about his leadership role or whether or not he's doing enough on the floor, but I think the impact he makes off the floor counterbalances that. And so, to be honest with you, I'm just grateful that he's back on the team.
Goran Dragic has been Miami's best player. That's not even arguable. He has been their most consistent player. Besides these last two games against Indiana, Washington, where he's been not good. He's made 6 of his 19 shots. He's going through a slump. That's fine. Everybody does. But before that, there was only one game where he scored less than 17 points. It was 12 points against the Clippers in the beginning of November, and Miami won that game anyway. So he's been super consistent. He's scored at least 20 points 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 times this season. That's more than any other Heat player, I believe, and it has to be. And he's just he has been really good on the floor. Noticeably, the team is worse when he's off the floor. And I think that's where I appreciate him the most is when, you know, he's gone, right? He's not on the floor and Miami's offense comes to a standstill. Even if Deion Waiters or Josh Richardson or James Johnson is running basically backup point guard duties, it's just not the same when Dragic isn't in there because it's he gets to the rim all the time because he's so crafty. I've always said this. He doesn't predetermine what he wants to do or where he wants to go. He just kind of takes what the defense gives him but also will take things that aren't necessarily easy to see. Like, he will just kind of sidestep and twist and turn his way until he's at the rim. And next thing you know, he's iron shouldering somebody in the chest and putting up a shot or finding a teammate that's open on the perimeter for an open three-pointer. Those three-pointers should start falling at some point. I think there's still a regression to the mean that we haven't seen yet. But, yeah, I'm with you. Dragic has been just awesome in a season where there's been a lot of disappointing individual performances. Dragic just hasn't been one of them.
And there were concerns, obviously, about his health level after playing in the EuroLeague World Cup there and, you know, whether or not he'd be able to sustain the pace that he's known for. that hasn't been an issue. Look, I'm not so naive, and I don't think you are either, that we don't recognize that he could be better and that there have been moments, not just the last two games, but overall where he could have improved.
Yeah.
But at the same time, he's playing his game. He's playing it well and playing at a very high level. In comparison to everybody else, he's playing at an exceptionally high level.
Exactly. All right. Is it time to pass the potatoes to me?
Yes, it is. Take it.
So I am thankful for these classic uniforms. I love these throwback uniforms that they've been wearing in November. November is also the Homestrong month, right? Where the NBA comes together, respects the military, and it's awesome. But the uniforms that the Heat wore for the month of November last season were atrocious. Look, this is not anything against the troops or supporting them or anything, but those were really ugly uniforms. And that, to me, did more harm than good. So I am very glad that the Homestrong outfit gear and has been on the sideline. That's been very nice. They've got the shirts. That's very nice, and I appreciate it. But these classic uniforms for the month of November are and have been fantastic. It's just like these black uniforms. It's great because with the new Nike thing taking over, you can wear them at any point. You know, you can, as long as the other team isn't wearing something similar, I think, is the only rule. Like the home team, I guess they get first dibs. But other than that, there's no rules. You can wear them anywhere they want. And for the most part, Miami has been wearing them anywhere they want for this month. And they've been awesome. How have you liked them?
I love them. Especially when you bring up the Homestrong uniforms. Part of it is because, well, they were hideous, but also they were losing so much while they were wearing those. Did they actually ever win a game while wearing those?
Bad taste in your mouth from those, yeah.
Yeah, I think they were like 0-10 wearing those uniforms. And I was just like, now I equate them with losing. Not only were they hard to look at, but they were hard to stomach overall just because it's associated with so much losing. But as far as the classic uniforms, they're great. I'm wondering why they even moved away from those in the first place. Sometimes it feels like the Miami Dolphins helmets where they move the dolphin 3 degrees to the right and say, look, we've got a new logo. And it's like, no, you've got the same dolphin going through the same hoop for the past 40 something years. I don't know. I really like the uniforms. I'm glad that we brought them back. I know it's part of the 30 years of Heat history, et cetera. Yeah, yeah. But at the same time, I just think they look great. I think the players like them. And I've seen people who aren't Heat fans doing nothing but praising these uniforms. So as far as I'm concerned, that's a pretty solid draw.
Hopefully they just bring, I know they're doing it for the month of November. It's a whole throwback month for them, but I hope they bring them back just occasionally, just throughout the season. I think if you're playing a team like the Bulls who want to wear red, maybe instead of wearing white on the road, which I'm still not used to at all, put on the blacks, put on the black throwbacks. Just bring them back every once in a while.
I agree.
All right, we're going to get to the second thing that we are thankful for. But first, fantasy basketball fans, listen up. If you love fantasy basketball, then you need to try our new favorite fantasy app. It's called Draft. It's daily fantasy basketball, but it's not like the other guys. Draft was launched in 2014 with the idea that the draft is the best part of playing fantasy sports. The only problem, though, is that you only get to draft once in your season-long leagues. And in traditional daily fantasy, that's dominated by sharks that can be intimidating and game the system. Not with Draft. On Draft, you play with a live snake draft, no salary cap, with other people. Plus, there's no multi-entry or player overlap, so you don't have to worry about those fantasy sharks gaming the system. Draft is designed to make fantasy sports simple, fair, and fun. Here's how it works. It's a draft that lasts just one night. You pick a draft, and then you start. Drafts start every couple of minutes, so you can join one right now. On the website, you create a login if you don't have one, and the splash page, the first page you're on, is just a bunch of draft lobbies. It's that easy. My favorite part is that after the draft, there's little to no lineup management. You just set it and forget it. No trades, no waiver wire. Draft even takes care of last-minute injuries for you. So, of course, you could play for cash. Drafts start from just $1, so there's a draft for everybody. And again, there's no salary cap, live snake draft, no losses because you forgot to make a sub for an injured player. If you had Patrick Beverly, don't worry about it. No fantasy sharks. Draft leans into the best part of fantasy sports, and you could play whenever you want. Join Draft today. Download the app. Just search Draft in your app store and join a game in minutes or play right from your computer on draft.com. That's how I do it. For a limited time, all new players get a free entry into a draft when you make your first deposit. Just use the promo code LOHEAT and play a free game to win real money by using the promo code LOHEAT on your first deposit. Personal preference. Do this. Go create an account on Draft. Put in the promo code LOHEAT, make your first deposit, then start listening to Locked On Fantasy Basketball. You'll definitely start winning money. All right.
Too soon on that Beverly reference, I think.
Too soon? The Clippers are bad, man. That's a tough place to be in. Because Milos Teodosic does not look like he's not even healthy. He got hurt like immediately.
He did, yeah.
So
I think he played the first game or two, and then he was
Tyler Johnson landing spot. We don't have to get into that. All right, what's the second thing? Second thing you're thankful for, other than just hypothetical trades?
Well, you know, it's funny because we talked about this in our most recent podcast, or I think this one, or well, actually, it seems like it's a consistent theme now that I think about it. But, you know, there are questions about how to build a team, whether or not this is the best team, whether or not we could have done something differently, whether or not we should have tanked, et cetera, et cetera. And to me, one of the things that I'm grateful for is that we get to put all those questions aside because this is the team we have. I'm grateful for the Miami Heat front office for running it back. It was one of the things that we talk about through this summer, whether or not they should have done things differently, whether or not they should have just made a key move or not try to sign players like Deion Waiters and James Johnson. But they did. They brought back these guys back. And to me, at least, it will prove whether or not the second half of last season was all a mirage. But I'm still grateful for these guys because I still believe in the camaraderie I saw last year. With the exception of the 2003-04 season, I can't recall a Heat season ever being so joyful to watch as that second half of last year. And maybe it was because it was such a sharp contrast from the first half of the season. But I really believe that these players enjoyed each other's presence, enjoyed themselves in the locker room, enjoyed being a part of this team and what they were trying to accomplish. The fact that there were tears shed in that locker room, I think speaks volumes about how much they were emotionally and personally invested in this process. So the fact that they brought all these guys back, well, hell, I'm grateful as hell for it.
Look, I mean, I don't know what the alternative was, what, right? And you think about, well, they should have signed Gordon Hayward. Yeah. But they didn't because he decided he wanted to go to Boston. So erase that. What else were the Heat going to do? I mean, instead of bringing back Deion Waiters, do you sign a guy like, I don't know, Tyreek Evans? Does he even want to do that? Like, are the Heat better because of that? Instead of signing Waiters or James Johnson, do you get Rudy Gay, who looks fine in San Antonio but not special? What are the other options? At least you're bringing back players that have a relationship with the fans and with the team who wanted to be here and want to be here for the long term. They have value. We can argue about that value, but they have value. And like you said, we get to figure out if that second half of last season was for real, or to what degree it was for real, or how good this team could be, what it could be. We get to find that out now. So I'm with you. I'm grateful for it. Whether or not, look, the start of the season has been a disappointment, but that's part of figuring it out, right? And I think you and I both agree that there is better basketball to be played for the Heat, and will be played, right?
Yeah, I think so. I keep getting into this semi argument with CBS Sports' Chris Barnwall of UCF, Go Knights, and he's not a big fan of the Heat organization, and I was very vehement in stating that I thought they could win up to 48 games this year at the start of the year. It's looking like he's more accurate than I was, but at the same time, I still have faith. I still believe that they can turn it around because they did it last year, and they're already got a pretty good head start at 7-9. They've won almost as many games as they did through the first 41 games of last year. So I think that's a real good start to the year.
All right. So my last thing that I'm thankful for went a little different with this. All right. Whiteside saying that his teammates need to be more patient with him when he's setting screens. And I'm thankful for that because, look, we knew that Whiteside didn't set good screens. That was right. Not a secret.
No, he sets great screens. That was never a problem with him and D-Wade.
Right. Exactly. Just one of the best pick and roll guards ever who basically managed to make it work with literally anybody you gave him. He managed to make a pick and roll work.
So, well, Anthony was a good pick and roll.
It was unbelievable. Like, Whiteside, man. Like, yes. You had a Hall of Fame guard, the third greatest guard to ever play in the NBA next to you. I don't care what point of his career it was. This dude knew how to run a pick and roll. I'm not saying Goran Dragic doesn't, but I'm also not saying that Goran Dragic isn't the third greatest guard of all time. And I think I'm safe
saying. It's different though, right? I mean, isn't it like, I mean, with Wade, he's more capable of being able to shift gears from slow to instantaneously fast as opposed to Goran. So, I mean, when Whiteside says the guards need to be patient, or James Johnson needs to be patient, I don't think it's – maybe he's just used to or feels more comfortable playing at the pace that D-Wade did, but I don't think he has to recognize that the current ball handlers do not have
– And, dog, it's been 2 years. It's been 2 years. I don't care if you were better with Dwayne Wade.
Though.
Figure it out with your new teammates, man. What do you?
We saw flashes of it last year, right? Yeah. I can recall there were moments with him and Dragic where they seemed like they were really getting a nice chemistry going, and then it falls apart. I don't understand what happens.
We know what happens. He's lazy. He's slow in setting the screen. Instead of being patient, be faster setting the screen, man. Especially, and that's why I'm grateful for that whole story. Is basically because in those other quotes in these stories, where it was all the teammates saying like, no, he needs to set better screens. Like Waiters said it, Dragic said it, Kelly Olynyk was like, I set great screens. Like everybody was like, no, man. You needed to be better at it. Like, we don't have to be patient. Like, we're trying. There was a 24-second shot clock here. And if we had it your way, it would take 30 seconds to set a screen and to get a shot off, man. And he catches two lobs a game, and he thinks he's catching enough lobs. He's not. Look, everybody agrees with us that's listening. If you don't, I can't help you. We could love Hassan Whiteside, and we do. We do love Hassan Whiteside, sort of. But He's like turkey on Thanksgiving. Like, he has to be there, but we don't really need him there. Everybody, even if you love Whiteside, you have to recognize he sets lousy screens. There's just no way around it. He is just bad at it. And he isn't, and this is what we said in the last episode. You could tell him he's bad at it, and he's like, no, man, you just have to be better at dealing with it.
He has to be better at handling who I am and figuring out who I am and then bending to me because I am Hassan Whiteside and I am the center of the universe. trade to the Clippers looks pretty good. Maybe get DeAndre Jordan in return. That might be a better deal for Miami.
Hey, if you're the Clippers and you're worried that DeAndre Jordan's leaving after this year, it's an expiring contract, might be worth flipping him.
I agree. I
think that's good. That kind of goes to why also I'm thankful for this. Not saying he should be or will be. If Hassan Whiteside is traded, we might look back at this as the first step into maybe Pat Riley's love affair with having that 7-foot center in the middle kind of maybe going away.
It has to be completely antithetical to everything the Heat front office believes in. Like, if you make a mistake, if everybody around you is saying you're making a mistake, and clearly, as for us, he's making a mistake, and you refuse to accept responsibility and, in fact, deflect that responsibility onto everybody else, reflect that blame onto everybody else, that seems like it is exactly the opposite of what the Heat culture or the Heat front office and everybody that's a part of that team and has been for over a decade believes it. I can't believe that they see this and go, that's good. That's good for the team for him to refuse to accept responsibility and to deflect blame. So you're right. Maybe the offshoot of his quote is that it is the first step towards a potential move. I'd love for him to be able to turn it around. I'm not hopeful.
Yeah, I'm not hopeful either. All right, next we're going to rank our top 8 teams in the East. But first, you're listening to Locked On Heat. Locked On Heat still has some inventory for sponsorships left for this season. It's a great, affordable way to connect and engage with Heat fans. Traditional podcast or traditional advertising doesn't work the way it used to. If you've tried it, you know this. Podcast listeners are 65% more likely to connect with sponsors than from any other form of media. So if you're interested or just want more information, no strings attached, email us directly at lockedonheat@gmail.com. Our rates are reasonable. They're based on listen, so you get your most bang for your buck. And you can have your company right here on the show. So what are you waiting for? And look, this isn't the normal thing where I say, I'm reading a copy here, David, the copy that I wrote. And I wrote here, no strings attached. I feel like immediately when people hear that, you're like, that's shady. I should get rid of that. Because this is not shady. This is a great opportunity. Which is also a thing not shady people say. Or shady people say. So I'm just digging myself into a hole here. Let's go on to our next top 8.
You're a trustworthy guy, Wes. I think everybody believes you. I think if everybody listening, I think I'm probably the guy who comes across as more shady than you.
Look, I called out Kelly Oubre before. We called out Dion Waiters before. We called out Hassan Whiteside's problems before. We literally called out Whiteside's problems with coaching. And then this article came out a couple hours after we published the podcast. We are very knowledgeable and trustworthy.
Absolutely.
And me yelling about that, that's just another thing a not trustworthy person would do. All right, let's go to the top 8 teams in the East. We did 8 because those are how many spots are in the playoffs. So we're not doing this in rankings. We're not saying if the playoffs started today, here's who would be in it, because you don't need us to tell you that. But we just ranked it from from our best team to the eighth best team in the Eastern Conference. I feel like we should start with the top team because I feel like that's who's kind of like rounds at the bottom is more interesting than the team at the top.
That's fair. That's fair. I think our number one is probably going to be the same team, to be honest with you.
Right. The Boston Celtics are the best team in the East right now. It's not even close. They are
best team in the league, 16-2. I mean,
yeah, they're plus 7.3 net rating so far in the season. Kyrie Irving looks like everything that people wondered if Kyrie Irving could be it. He is that. You know, people argued whether or not he could be the best player on a great team. Well, he is. And Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum look incredible on defense for them. They're extremely long, extremely athletic. Both of them just took a leap from last season. Jason Tatum taking a leap from his last year at Duke to now. Jaylen Brown taking a leap from his rookie season to now. He's a great three-point shooter. Awesome defender. You had a chance to talk to him and in a really good feature you wrote for the Step Back. And
thank you.
Look, this is what people, they wondered if you could replace Jay Crowder, if you could replace Avery Bradley. And I kept arguing all summer. Another reason, I'm going to tell you another reason why I was right recently. Okay. It was just that I kept saying, look, you just took two guys in the top three who otherwise would be benched, right? If you kept the whole team and didn't go get Gordon Hayward and didn't go get Kyrie Irving, they would otherwise be benched. You've got to trust your draft process. You've got to trust your scouting and trust that these guys who have higher ceilings than the guys you got rid of are going to make that leap. And if they don't, big deal, because the Warriors are going to win the finals anyway this year. So I thought it was a really good move for them. And it turns out that these guys just took huge leaps, and they are just the best team in the East.
Absolutely. I mean, to lose guys like Avery Bradley, Jay Crowder, even Isaiah Thomas, and be able to not just – and, of course, Gordon Hayward, the focal point of their offense. One of the things that that Jaylen Brown told me was how hard it is for this team to kind of make up for it. And it's been a collective effort. And that's part of why I think this team is as good as it is that everybody has taken a leap simultaneously, as opposed to say Miami, for instance, where it seems like everybody's taking a step back, or maybe one player takes a step forward on any given night. It seems like a collective effort in Boston. Al Horford, all-star Al Horford, is playing the best of his career. I think he's actively rebounding, which has been a concern for him. His passing has been great. His three-point shooting has been fine.
That's great screens.
Hey, it's been a while since I've seen one, but yes, I am familiar with it. All right, I think that's enough about Boston, particularly on the eve. Okay, for me, the second best team in the Eastern Conference is, not surprisingly, the Cleveland Cavaliers. I know it's not their record. The record does not show it at 10-7. I still believe in this team. Look, they went 7-3 after the poor start, trying to figure out who was who. Dwayne Wade struggling as a starter, not getting good performances out of Tristan Thompson, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Look, they're at 7-3. They're at 10-7 overall. They get Isaiah Thomas back at some point. They still have the corpse of Derrick Rose on there somewhere. And they're still able to play at a high level. I think they're going to figure it out. And again, it's just the regular season. We've seen up close and personally how much LeBron does not care for the regular season. He doesn't care if it's the first seed, the second seed, the third seed, etc. He's going to be able to make something out of the playoffs because that's just as great as he is.
The problem though in Cleveland isn't LeBron. I mean, he's playing great. It's the rest of that team. I've got Cleveland at 3. I've got Toronto at 2. I think right now Toronto's better than Cleveland. Their net rating is not far from Boston's. Boston's 7.3. They're beating teams by 7.1 points per 100 possessions. They've won four straight. In which they've beaten good teams like Houston, Washington. They lost to Boston by 1 point. DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry, after a rocky start of the season, are really starting to turn things around. DeRozan in the last five games, 26.2 points per game. Lowry, 18.4 points a game and 8.4 assists a game. That's like Goran Dragic numbers points-wise and twice the amount of assists, just to put it in perspective.
I like Toronto. I really do. I just feel like we've seen this movie before. And
I agree with you completely. If this were the playoffs, I'd pick Cleveland.
Okay, that's fair. When I'm thinking of overall rankings, is not just currently perhaps, but also long-term prognostication there. And I still see Cleveland being able to take it to another level. I think this might be as good as Toronto plays, although I'm sure they could play better. I just don't know that they will. I don't have a lot of faith that they do. I'd like them to, but I don't see that happening.
I've got Cleveland at 3. They're look, you're right. The record doesn't look like it right now, but they're playing really well in the last five games. They're outscoring their opponents by 9.6 points per 100 possessions over the last five games. They've been good, and they've won the last five games. So it's just that defense, man. It really just – that defense, there's no switch. There's no switch. It's just a bunch of bad defensive players. That's it. I don't know why there would be a switch. And
well, Crowder's on that team. I mean, he still has potential.
Yeah, okay. That's one defender.
Yeah, I mean,
no rim protector.
I know one available in Miami.
Hey. Channing Frye and a first round pick. Let's do it. So bring Dwayne Wade back. It's also the reserve group. Like, the starters are bad enough, but there's no backups that can defend. Like, even if the starters can figure out a way to defend, like, even at a league average level, which at this point would be a miracle, there's no way that reserve group can defend. Like, that team would just get blown out as soon as LeBron James comes off the floor. And that's what, it really concerns me. I think Toronto right now is just a more complete team. Boston is obviously just a better team. Cleveland, minus LeBron James, this is... If LeBron took this team to the finals, this would be similar to when he took that team, the first Cleveland team, to the finals when they lost to San Antonio.
Even if Thomas returns to full strength?
I mean, slightly better, I suppose, but it's just, I don't know. Full strength. Then if Isaiah Thomas comes back at an MVP level, they'll be okay offensively. But again, they're questions that have been on offense. There's just no defenders on that team, and they have the worst defense literally the worst defense in the league right now. That's hard, and I don't know. I don't care how good you are offensively. You're not going to beat Boston. You're not going to beat Toronto if they're playing like this.
All right, let's move on then. All right, so that's your third best team.
Who is your
for
third?
Me, Mike, the third best team is actually the Detroit Pistons.
Wow.
I'm not sure if I'm a believer yet. But I'm a believer in Van Gundy. I think this is the team that they were supposed to be last year. And I think the acquisition of the underrated Avery Bradley, who was a longtime Heat killer when he was with the Celtics, I think has really helped turn that team around. They've got depth. Andre Drummond has been exceptional.
So good.
Tobias Harris has been really, really good.
Yep.
Stanley Johnson's even playing a little better. Reggie Jackson, who I liked and I never really had a problem with, even when he was with the Thunder, he was supposedly a locker room cancer. But then again, who hasn't who hasn't been a cancer at one point or another in the Oklahoma City locker room? So it's hard to say, but I think they're tying it all together. Everybody's healthy. They're at 11-6. They've got the third best record in the Eastern Conference, and that's where I have them ranked in my rankings.
So that was your third team. Okay.
Yes.
So let's move on to four, right?
Okay.
So I've got Washington. They had a little bit of they stumbled there like last week or a couple weeks ago, but at the end of the day, they've got John Wall, Bradley Beal. Otto Porter is awesome. Like, that guy just doesn't miss. I like their depth with Kelly Oubre and kind of coming off the bench there. And I think they have another move to make. I think Deion Waiters would fit in really well there.
You're just moving everybody there.
Let's fire sale. So I don't know what else to say about this. Is a very similar Wizards team than we've seen in years past, but I think everybody's better. Bradley Beal is on his way to being one of the top two guards in the league.
It's funny, yeah, because I have it a little bit flipped around them. For me, my fourth best team was the Toronto Raptors. I think, you know, obviously they're very good. They're playing at a high level. Their stars are playing well. They're getting some great production off their bench as well.
Yes.
It's not a bad team. I would have thought the loss of Patrick Patterson and others would have made things worse, but they got Anunoby in the draft. They're getting some nice performances from Jake Poeltl. I mean, they're getting some nice play off the bench, which was a little surprising, but it's been fun to see. So they're my fourth best team there, and I've actually got the Wizards fifth. Okay. So I'm surprised. I leapfrogged Detroit past everybody on your list, apparently.
You know, I've got Detroit at five, but...
why are you down on this? Basically the question I'm asking.
I don't know if I am. I just think that those other four teams are better. I really like Washington. I like this Toronto team, how they're playing right now. I'm with you. I wouldn't bet any money on them in the playoffs, but I don't think I'm down on Detroit. I actually thought I had them pretty high at five. I think you're really high on them.
Maybe. I mean, I just think it's a nice balance of wing players. They're probably lacking some depth there, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I think they've got some nice balance in the starting lineup there, and I think that helps. You know, if they're looking for a quality sixth man.
Who? Tyler Johnson?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, sure. That sounds like a great idea.
I think that, you know, you run into some problems when Tobias Harris is your number one scoring option. If he is, that pick and roll might be considered their number one scoring option, depending on who ends up with it between Reggie Jackson and Drummond. But, you know, 5 seconds on the shot clock, you're giving it to Tobias Harris. I think he's been really great. I just think he's a notch below what you need to compete with a team with Kyrie Irving, LeBron James, DeMar DeRozan. I just think that he's a notch below those guys. I don't think that's offensive or arguable. But, all right, number six, who'd you have?
I've got the Bucks. I've actually got the Bucks at the sixth best record. The sixth strongest team in my standings there. Their record doesn't reflect it right now. I'm still a believer that they'll turn things around, that they'll get some players back health-wise. Currently just 8-8. They're actually ranked ninth overall in the Eastern Conference. But I still think that they're, you know, with a player like Adetokounmpo, obviously, you're going to continue to be able to beat better teams maybe or deeper teams just because of his individual greatness. And so despite having gone 4-6 of their last 10 and having lost their last two games, I still think that they're the sixth best team in the Eastern Conference.
So I've got the Philadelphia 76ers at six.
Ooh.
Joel Embiid has been awesome. I know that
for him.
You're not a big fan of Joel Embiid. He's been awesome.
I'm not.
And when he's on the floor, Philadelphia is as good as several of these.
If he's on the floor, it's because he flopped there.
As good as Joel Embiid has been, Ben Simmons has been better. I love watching Ben Simmons this year. He is fantastic. I mean, he gets to the rim whenever he wants.
But he can't shoot, Wes. He can't shoot.
I think you're. Are you okay? You're doing the sports.
I'm being sarcastic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He can't shoot. And it doesn't even matter. It doesn't matter that he can't shoot because he gets to the rim whenever he wants, and he's basically 7 feet tall, and if he just gets to the rim and puts the shot up, and he can finish with either hand. He's an incredible passer, great vision, good defender. He's just been awesome. And between that, I like how Robert Covington and J.J. Redick space the floor for them. They are a good team, and they've been coached really well by Brett Brown for the last 3 years. This is a team that kind of looks like they're just making this kind of step towards trying to be good. But Brett Brown has been trying to coach a team to being good for the last 3 or 4 years, however long it's been. And those, I think those habits and those that system is really in place there. I think this would be a different team if this was Brett Brown's first season in Philadelphia, they wouldn't be as good as they are. I think he's doing an awesome job there.
I know it's going to seem like I'm repaying the favor, but for all of our listeners that don't know it, definitely check out Wes's excellent piece on Robert Covington. He's such a great underrated player. You got a great chance to talk with him and get some really good input from Brown and from Covington himself, and it was an excellent piece, so definitely check it out. And you're right. I know why this team can be high or higher on this list because of their talent and everything else. I'm not completely sold on it just yet. Maybe I'm being a little pessimistic. I know for Philadelphia fans, their perspective is skewed because they've been desperate for any kind of success. And now that they finally have it, they've got a winning record for the first time in, what, 6 seasons, it seems like? I mean, it seems like it's been a while. So I'm cautiously optimistic, but I could see why they could be ranked six or higher, to be honest with you.
So then you had Milwaukee at six. I have Philadelphia at six. Who's your seventh?
My seventh is the 76ers.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, worked out pretty well. So we flip-flop 6 and 7, basically.
No, I didn't have Milwaukee at 7.
Oh, I'm sorry. Who did you have at 7, then?
I have Charlotte.
Oh, okay.
I have Charlotte. Look, I love Steve Clifford. I've said that several times. He always coaches a good defense. You don't have to worry about that. They just got Nick Batum back a couple games ago. That's going to be huge for them. Jeremy Lamb has been having a great season for them so far. And Kemba Walker has taken another step. And Dwight Howard's giving him a good game here and there. I'm not going to come out and say Dwight Howard's back or anything like crazy like that, but he had 25 and 20 the other night or something like that. Like, He's improved the rebounding on that team, which was something they needed. They had to rebound as a team last year. Now they have one guy that can rebound. It frees up the other players to do other things. And with Batum back, I think that team's deep. And they have a starting five that can compete with most of these teams. I like Charlotte.
Yeah, they're my eighth team. You know, of all the teams with losing records, they're the only one with a positive differential as far as points. And their defense is still going to continue to get better, especially with Batum back. I really like his versatility. He's a player that fits many different roles there. He's usually one of the team's leading rebounders by design. He's a great passer. He's a decent scorer and a good wing defender as well. So I think I don't know if they're necessarily deeper than they've been in the past, but it kind of feels that way, right? They still have Marvin Williams. Yeah, I mean,
Lamb has developed. Malik Monk, he can come in and just get hot at any point. I think that adds.
Cody Zeller was the great starter for them, and now he's no longer the starter because of Howard. I mean, he's backup. He's a good backup player to have there.
Say they're deeper, yeah.
Yeah, even Kaminsky. I know you're not high on him, but he provides some value as a scorer.
He's a nice Ryan Anderson wannabe. number eight, I've got the Indiana Pacers.
Okay.
Well, No, I don't. I apologize. All right. I had that written here. I crossed it out. I have the Milwaukee Bucks at eight. I almost put Indiana. Boring. I've been really. Should I have just gone with Indiana? Would that have been more fun? I would. The last four games, they've been good. Beat Memphis, Detroit, Miami, Orlando. So, not.
Can they keep it going? Is the question for them, right?
That's what I'm kind of saying here, is that they're on a four game win streak, but it's against not good teams. Like, Detroit's a good win, but other than that, Memphis is not doing well. They don't have Mike Conley. Miami, we know, doesn't play well lately. Orlando has been in a slump. I don't think Indiana is a believer. I'm not a believer in Indiana. I think you have a ceiling when your best player is Victor Oladipo. And I like Victor Oladipo. He seems like a nice person. He's a very good dancer.
He is a nice guy. Nice guy in the locker room.
Really,
nice,
yeah, nothing nice against him. And I just, but I don't think, you know, all I'm saying is that you have a ceiling when he's your best player. And I think that ceiling is right around here. And so I give the Bucks the edge here because they have Giannis Antetokounmpo. When he's your best player, your ceiling is the best team in the league. Like, that guy is unbelievable. Only thing that kind of makes me hesitate on Milwaukee. And you had them what? You had them at six? The reason I can't bring them up that high is that defense is still so bad. And I think it's somewhat a coaching issue with Jason Kidd. You know, I love Jason Kidd as a head coach, mostly on offense. Defense, he's asking way too much from a team that is way too young to do it. He is saying, you have to defend every spot of the floor. I just don't think that these guys defend at that level right now. They're not veteran and savvy enough to defend at that sort of level. To be that anticipatory about what the offense is going to do. They give up way too many easy shots. I think they need a real rim protector. A lot of people love Thon McCur. I don't know that he's a starting level player right now. John Henson's been not good ever since his contract extension. They need a rim protector. Hassan Whiteside's a rim protector, just saying. But I still have Milwaukee at eight. Who'd you have at eight?
I had the Hornets at eight. Okay. I'm a big Clifford, and I like that team. I think they've got some decent depth there. It's not good that they're, you know, on the upward trend in the same season where Miami's going in the opposite direction. But I mean, Clifford is an excellent coach. He's always been able to find a way to maximize his roster, and I think he'll continue to do that. So I'm optimistic that they'll find some way of eking out a playoff role.
Where do you have the Heat?
That's interesting. I mean, you got a conversation there. You could argue that the Knicks are as good at this point. The Pacers have certainly played better than Miami.
Yeah, Indiana's better than Miami right now.
I'd say
they have two players better than anybody in the league right now.
Are they better than Orlando?
I'd probably put Miami in like 10 or 11. Like right there with the Knicks and Orlando and those teams.
Yeah, that's fair. Like, is the Eastern Conference good this year?
I mean, yeah, like they're better than last year, right?
Yeah, feels that way.
I mean, definitely just feels that way. The fact that I have Cleveland at three, and you have Cleveland at two, even is basically just saying the team with LeBron isn't automatically the best team. That makes the conference better, I think.
Agreed.
All right. Well, that's all we have for today. Thank you for listening. Thank you to Draft. Remember to check out Draft, which is designed to make fantasy sports simple, fair, and fun. Use the promo code LOHEAT to get a free entry into a draft. When you make your first deposit, you can send mailbag questions for next week to LockedOnHeat@gmail.com. Tweet your questions or comments for our recaps using the hashtag AskLOHEAT. Make sure to subscribe to the show to get podcasts automatically every day. Then go to iTunes, rate us, review us, say nice things about us. Theme song is by CeeLo Keys. Outro music is courtesy of Mojave Wild. Have a happy Thanksgiving, everybody.